Thank you, Clay. Great job. We appreciate that very much. Appreciate Clay and all that he does. Very talented. Amen. Does a great job. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. We're going to read the whole psalm and then spend a little time breaking that down a little bit. Again, let me say that I'm honored to be filling in for Dr. May. Appreciate the opportunity. And just as a reminder, I'll be filling in next Wednesday as well. And then, of course, 2 weeks from tonight will be the day before Thanksgiving. We won't have Wednesday night service that night. So, and I mentioned last week, this is, I don't want to call it an official series, but I've prepared three independent messages for these three Wednesday nights that are all Thanksgiving theme, but not actually connected or an official series. So Psalm 116, we're going to read the whole psalm, as I said. Verse 1, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication. Supplications, prayer is like a general term. Supplications is specific request. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death encompassed me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? For I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord, now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word. God, as we now open your word, Lord, pray we'd receive it into our heart, apply it to our lives, just draw us closer to you, reveal to us what you would have us to know. Forgive me of my sins and speak through me in Jesus' name, amen. The greeting card industry is a multi-million dollar industry. One of the main money makers in the greeting card industry is thank you cards. Even with all the social media we have in our modern day world, thank you cards are still a very popular item. Tonight I've got some thank you card messages that I want to share with you. These are actual messages taken from thank you cards. These thank you cards are for various reasons. First of all, I want to read to you a message from a thank you card that you would give somebody that provided you a dinner. Either they took you out to eat or invited them to their home or something of that nature. Listen to what it says. This is what you would say, or what the thank you card would say. The meal that you served us was grand. It was quite a relief from the canned and a pleasant escape from the bland. And here's a thank you card, a couple of examples of thank you cards that you would give for somebody that just gave you a gift. Christmas is coming up, and so if you want to write somebody a thank you card, you can write these down and use these after you get all your Christmas gifts, all right? Here's one. Your kind thoughtfulness gave me a lift, and the present was swell. Don't get miffed, for my memory is poor. It's a trait I deplore, and a problem because I re-gift. Some of y'all get that tonight when you go to bed. Here's another one for a thank you card after you receive a gift. It says, the gift was just lovely, I say. Was it costly? How much did you pay? It will be on display when you come here to stay, at least while you're here anyway. And of course, we want to teach our children to say thank you and give return thanks, give a thank you card when they are given a gift, especially a money gift. Here's one for your children. My mom always tells me to write a brief thank you note that's polite. To avoid her tongue lash, thanks a bunch for the cash, and please tell her you got this, all right? I didn't write these guys, so I can't take credit. Here in Psalm 116, we find a very personal and intense thank you note to the Lord. The author of Psalm 116 is unknown, but several Bible commentators that I looked at said that it is believed that this psalm was sung by Jesus and his disciples during the Last Supper while they were in the upper room. But we see here in Psalm 119, we see there is at the beginning, there is prayer. And then you see that last statement at the very end where the psalmist says, praise the Lord. So we're going to take a few minutes, as I said, and break this psalm down. And the title of the lesson tonight is From Prayer to Praise. From Prayer to Praise. Notice three things here in this psalm. Notice number one, first of all, we see the refrain. The refrain. Look at the very first part of verse 1. Notice how the psalmist starts out. He says this simply, I love the Lord. Now we know, of course, that the book of Psalms is a collection of poems, prayers, and songs. The songs or the hymns were sung during the Jewish worship services and during the Jewish celebrations, of course, during Bible times. And we see here in verse 1, we see this opening line, this opening statement. The writer begins by saying, I love the Lord. Now, the overall theme of this psalm is one of thanksgiving. The psalmist is expressing his gratitude to God, but he starts off with this powerful statement, a short but strong and important sentence. When we got saved, we entered into a relationship with God. And that relationship, the Bible teaches, is based on love. Listen, we could summarize Christianity in one verse. John 3:16 says this, for God what? So loved the world. And you could insert your own individual name right there instead of the word world. For God so loved you, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And then another good verse that I think is a good summary of Christianity is Romans 5:8. Paul there says, but God demonstrates his own what? Love. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible says that there is nothing that can separate us from God's love. We are born into this world as sinners. We accept Jesus as our personal Savior. We enter into this relationship, a relationship of love with God. And then the Bible goes on to say that we can never be separated from God's love. Romans 8, 37 through 39 says this, "Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." It is a love relationship that makes Christianity unique, that a love relationship that we are in with God as a result of our trust in Jesus as our personal Savior. I read online about some short marriages, some short Hollywood marriages. You've probably heard of a couple of these. You may have heard of Kim Kardashian. Kim Kardashian married an NBA basketball player, Chris Humphries, on August 20th, 2011, and 72 days later, Kim Kardashian filed for divorce. Ethel Merman, who was a famous actress and singer back in the 50s and 60s, married Ernest Borgnine, an award-winning actor, in 1964, and 2 weeks later, they filed for divorce. Britney Spears and Jason Alexander were married in Las Vegas, and it lasted 2 days. In 1919, Rudolph Valentino and Gene Acker were separated after being married for 6 hours. Listen. God's love for us is an eternal love. It's an everlasting love. It's a never-ending love. Our relationship with God will last for eternity. The Bible says that he will never leave us or forsake us. God is not going to file for divorce from us. No matter what we do, no matter how bad we live our life, God will always love us. We'll always be in that love relationship with God. But this love relationship is a two-way street. Yes, we've looked at verses here that show us and demonstrate that God loves us, and how he demonstrated that love, and that love will never end. We can never be separated from that love. But we, in turn, are to love him. Amen, Wednesday night crowd. Amen. See, 1 John 4:19 says this, "We love God because he loved us first." Mark 12:30 says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." As I said, the theme of this psalm is one of giving thanks. The author of this psalm is grateful for what God has done, and he starts off by saying to God, "I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord." I wonder, just let me ask a rhetorical question. How often have you made that statement to God? Now, in our human relationships, there's all kind of different ways to express love, right? In our relationship with our spouse or our children, our friends, our family, our brothers and sisters in Christ, there are various ways to express our love and in a human relationship. And there's various ways to express our love to God. But I want to ask you to think about something. How comfortable are you, or how often do you say verbally and audibly, "I love you, Lord"? Now, I know in our prayers, we pray our prayers in our prayer time silently, or you can pray your prayers out loud. But setting aside our silent prayer time, verbally expressing to God, I love you, Lord. I want us to do something here a little bit different tonight. It's Wednesday night. I think we'll be okay and we can get away with this. I thought about this in studying this psalm. I actually saw Charles Stanley do this, pastor of First Baptist Atlanta. I saw him do this in a service one time. He actually asked the congregation to stand. I'm not going to ask you to do that. But in just a moment, I'm going to say, ready, go. And I want all of us here tonight to verbally and audibly say, I love you, Lord. All right, can we do that? Everybody understand? That good? And I want you to say it loud and say it proud. Do not say it to me. Don't say it to the person next to you. You say, I love you, Lord, out loud to him. All right, let's do that. Ready, go. I love you, Lord. One more time, say it loud. I love you, Lord. I don't know if any of you, maybe that felt uncomfortable or you'd never done anything like that before, but it is necessary in this love relationship to express our love to God. Amen? We express that love to God in worship. We will do that Sunday morning. We express our love to God in serving him in various ways, whatever ways he's called us to serve. We express our love in faithfully giving our tithes and offerings. Many different ways to express our love. But verbally saying, God, here I am. I love you, Lord. We need to get in the habit of doing that. Amen? All right, so we see here, first of all, the refrain. In other words, a refrain is something that's repeated often, and that's why I use that word. That's what we should be doing as believers, repeating often, I love you, Lord. All right, number two, we see here not only the refrain, second of all, notice number two, the reasons. The psalmist gives us the reasons. Look at the second half of verse 1, and we'll read through verse 8. All right, he says, I love the Lord. All right, now notice how this flow goes here. He says, because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death encompass me. The pangs of Sheol or hell laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I deplore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Notice verse 8. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. So we see here the psalmist gives us the reasons why he cried out to God. He gives us the reasons for being thankful. He gives us here the reasons that he loves the Lord. Two things I want us to notice here real quick. First of all, two things we see here from the psalmist. He says that he loves the Lord, that he cried out to God. He is thankful to God because God listens. God listens. I want you to notice verse 3 with me now. Look at what he went through in verse 3. He says, the pains of death encompassed me. In other words, he feels bound and constrained by the fact that he will face death. He has come to grips, as verse 3 continues, he talks about the pains of Sheol laid hold of him. He came to the grips with the reality of hell. He expresses how he has gone through trials and tribulations, trouble and sorrow, he says here. But he says, in spite of that, I love the Lord, and I cried out to him, and he heard me. God listens. The psalmist says, he heard my voice. I heard a story about two psychiatrists that met at their 20-year college reunion. Two psychiatrists. One of the psychiatrists appeared vibrant, and energetic and young, while the other psychiatrist looked withered, worried, and worn out. The older-looking psychiatrist asked the other guy, "So what's your secret? Listening to other people's problems every day, all day long, for years on end, has made an old man out of me." The younger-looking psychiatrist looked back at him and said, "So, whoever listens?" God will listen. We can go to God at any time, from anywhere, and God will hear us. He will listen as long as we want to talk. And God is a good listener. Do you realize in our human relationships, human discussions, you realize how hard it is to listen? I don't know if you ever thought about it, but you can be in a conversation with somebody, looking at somebody, and they're talking, and what are we doing? We got all these things going on in our own mind, don't we? We're either forming a response before they ever get through, or we're thinking about what we're going to have for supper when we get home. I can tell some of y'all thinking about that right now. We're thinking about our next task, our next thing we want to do. It's hard being a good listener, but God listens. And how busy do you think God is? You think God's got a lot going on? Yeah, he's pretty busy, isn't he? But he's still got time to listen to you and whatever's going on in your life. The Lord God of the universe loves you with a never-ending love, and he wants to talk to you. He will listen to whatever's going on in your life. Not only does God listen, but God, second of all, liberates. God liberates or sets us free. Look at verse 8. Verse 8, he says, "For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." We see here, first of all, we've been liberated or set free from the sentence of death. Jesus himself said, "He that believes in me shall never die." I was serving as a pastor many years ago, and a lady in our church told me that she had a friend that was in ICU at Floyd Medical Center. Older man, it was in very bad health and intensive care, and she asked me to go visit him. I walked into that man's room in intensive care, and he had a very anxious look on his face. And I didn't know him, he didn't know me. And the first thing he said to me is, "I'm afraid to die." And I responded and told him that verse right there. I said, "Sir, Jesus said, he that believes in me shall never die." And I went on and shared the gospel with him, and he prayed to receive Jesus, and his face was transformed. His countenance changed. He was so relieved. My friends, we are liberated. We are set free from the sentence of death. The Bible teaches that you and I as believers will never, ever taste the pain of death. Amen? So we're liberated, and the psalmist acknowledges that here, liberated from the sentence of death. Not only that, we are liberated or set free from sorrow. He says that he delivered my eyes from tears. It's not known exactly what the psalmist was going through or had been through, but you know, tears are a God-given gift. Tears are an expression of our emotions. And he says here that God has wiped away my tears. He's taken away those tears. He's returned to me from sorrow to joy. And so the psalmist acknowledges that we're liberated or set free from the sentence of death. We're set free from sorrow and also set free or liberated from stumbling. He says there in verse 8, he says, "You've delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." The psalmist said in Psalm 40, verse 2, "God has brought me out of the horrible pit. out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. The psalmist here, it's a great psalm, he says, I love the Lord. I was going through a hard time. I was experiencing a difficult situation, and I cried out to the Lord God of the universe, and he heard me. He listened, and he delivered me. He met my need. Whatever it is you're going through, God is in the throne room of heaven, and he's ready to listen, and he's ready to meet your need. And we can be thankful for what he has done for us. So we see here, notice first of all, the refrain. Number two, the reasons. And number three, we'll close. Notice the resolve. The resolve of the psalmist. Look at verse 12 and 17. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Verse 12. Now look at verse 17. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. The psalmist here presents a great question. After he expresses and reveals what all God has done for him, the psalmist comes to the end here and he says, how can I render, or how can I ever begin to repay God for all that he's done? And then he gives the answer. He expresses things, a commitment here that he makes on how he's going to pay God back, if you will. Return the thanks to God. Notice here what he says here. Three things. If you're taking notes, he says, how can I repay God? Notice what he says here. He says in this psalm here, he says, I will call on you. I will call upon the name of the Lord, he says here. In other words, he is committing himself to be a person of prayer. He understands how important it is now to call on God, and God will listen, and God will meet our needs. So he says, I will call on you, God. I'm going to be a person of prayer. And he says here that I am your servant. You see that there in verse 17? I am your servant. In other words, I will be a person of performance, not meaning performance to earn God's favor, but being someone who will faithfully serve God. God, I'm going to call on you. I'm going to be a person of prayer. And not only that, God, I'm going to be your servant. I'm going to be faithful and committed to doing your will. And then we see here, not only does he say that I will call on you, and he says, I am your servant. This is how he's going to repay God. And then he also says, and I will give you thanks. He commits to being a person of prayer. He commits to being a person of performance. And then we see here, thirdly, he commits to being a person of praise. It's been said that no duty is more urgent than that of returning thanks. Because of what God has done for us, and we're in this love relationship with the Lord God of the universe, and he sustains us, and he meets our needs, he saved us. Let's understand that it is our privilege to give him thanks. Let's be people of praise. Let's honor him with praise and thanksgiving. Not just one time of the year, but every day. Because of what God has done, let's resolve to be people of prayer and people of performance, meaning we're going to faithfully serve God, and people of praise. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this psalm and what we can learn here from the psalmist's words. Lord, help us to understand what it is you've done for us, how blessed we are. Help us to be mindful of how we need to tell you on a regular basis how we love you. Help us to always be willing and not afraid to express our love to you verbally and in serving you and being committed to you. And God, we thank you that for this love relationship that we have with you. Thank you for listening to us, always being available to hear us as we come to you in prayer. And God, there may be somebody here tonight that's going through a difficult time. The psalmist said, I've seen trouble and sorrow. Maybe there's someone here tonight that's facing trouble or going through a time of sadness and sorrow. May they be reminded that you're there ready to listen, ready to meet their need, ready to restore them and revive them and lift them up. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you.